So it is good to see you today. If this is your first time here, your first time in a while, maybe you've been here and you've moved away, you're back, it's great to see your faces, and I'm trying to make it a point to look at every single one of your faces this morning, so I'm not lying as I say it's good to see your faces today. Before I jump into our passage today, I want to give away some free things. Would anyone like some free stuff today? For example, Gilead Friends, we aspire to be an equipping church, and what that means is that we, as leaders of the church, we want to equip you for the work of the kingdom of God. And one way that we can equip you is to give you the right tools. So today I'm here. I'm going to give away brand new free Bibles to three people who would like them. Now, the way that you get this is by raising your hand and by saying, "I will read this book." So if you're a first-time guest, if you've been here for a number of years and you would like a book, this is what I have for you right now. There's no bias or anything. I have three different versions. So right now I have two new King James versions. One is Apply the Word Study Bible, and one is a Foundation, Build Your Life on It. How many of you would like a free Bible that you will say, "Pastor, I will read this"? Anybody, raise your hand. Don't be afraid, because I won't throw it at you. I'll actually come to you. Who wants it? I see a hand back here. Excellent. Did I see a hand? I didn't see a hand. Who raised? Okay, we got a hand over here. Who would like Bible number two? Someone clear over there, so you make me run. Bible number two. Awesome. Here you go, Jennifer. Third Bible that I have to give away. It's kind of heavy. It's kind of big, but this one is an NIV version that is designed. It's designed purely for those of you who are just starting to study. I mean, it is all spelled out for you. It's called the NIV Starting Place Bible. This has so much wonderful information. It is clear. It is right away, right up front. Excellent. Thank you so much. There will be a quiz in 2 weeks. I encourage you to read your Bibles if you have them. If you don't have a Bible, in all seriousness, call the church. Say, "Hey, I would like a Bible," and we will give you one, right? Maybe your Bible is, I have a Bible where the cover is literally falling off. Maybe you have a Bible like that, and you're like, "You know what, I kind of like a new Bible." Call your church and say, "I would love to have a new Bible if you could give it, help a brother out, help a sister out, and we will give you that resource." Today I want to share with you, of course, about the resurrection of Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. That's the first book of the New Testament. Matthew is all about Jesus and how he fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, we actually will have the words up on the text on the screen behind me so you can follow along. But if you could, would you stand with me as we read this? We stand out as a way of kind of honoring the Word of God. In the ancient world, you would stand when royalty would come in. Or if you were really, really honorable, you'd stand whenever a lady entered the room. This is a similar idea. We're standing as a way to show honor to the Word of God and the life that it brings and how it challenges us. But this is Matthew's telling of the resurrection. And so what I want to do today is I want to look at three reflections, three parts of this passage that personally spoke to me and I want to share with you. And then we're going to look at three points of what to take with us this Resurrection Sunday. So Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 1, Matthew wrote this: "After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning. His clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Let's pray. Father, as we explore this text, as we savor this moment, this event in history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, bring application to us as we look and reflect on a few parts of this story from Matthew. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Each gospel account in the New Testament, you have Matthew, you have the gospel that Mark wrote, you have the gospel that Luke, and you have one of John, and the titles is named after their authors. They each have this account of Jesus' resurrection. And each one is a little different. There's a little viewpoint that makes it all unique surrounding this one glorious event of the resurrection. Now the Jewish people, there were some in ancient Israel. There was the mindset, the worldview that, we believe in resurrection, that people will come back from the dead, but they believed that God would do that at the very end of time. And there were some who didn't believe in resurrection at all, and so there was some conflict here. But each gospel of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, write about Jesus' tomb being empty after his crucifixion. So there are three things from this passage that I want to spring into, that as I was looking at it, they literally jumped out, not literally, they figuratively jumped off the page into my mind, and I said, well, we've got to explore this. We've got to check this out and talk about it Sunday morning. The first of the three that I want to look at, and if you're taking notes, you already know where I'm going because the answers are right there in your bulletin. The first segment from Scripture is where the angel says to them that, go ahead, Jesus is not here, he has risen, just as he said. No one who followed Jesus, the disciples, this crowd, these 12 people, and the ladies, none of them were anticipating this to happen. If we could go back to Friday, on Good Friday we had a service here that focused in on the actual death of Jesus and what it was like in the moment. Not one of them were expecting that this was going to happen right now. In fact, to put yourself in the shoes of a follower of Jesus at this moment, when he is betrayed, when he is turned over to the authorities, and the crowd are yelling, crucify him, and you see him on the cross, and you see him sweating and bloodying and breathing his last, you are filled with fear because this person that you had been following all these years is now gone, and the authorities are probably coming after you. And so you're terrified. But as you read the Gospels, as you read Jesus interacting with his followers, you read that Jesus tells them, so this is what's going to happen, friends. We are going to go into Jerusalem, and I am going to be handed over to the authorities. I am going to be killed, but I am going to rise again. He had kind of let them know. And so you put yourself in the shoes and the minds of his followers, these earlier followers. You're like, okay, Jesus, sure, whatever you're talking about, but you're this fantastic person. Nothing bad's going to happen. The angel had to reiterate to these ladies, Jesus is not here. He has risen just as he said. A reminder that Jesus keeps his word. He stands by his promises. So as I'm reading this, and these four words jump out at me, just as he said, I'm reminded, and it convicts me right where I am. Where do you struggle in life? And you need to be reminded today on Resurrection Sunday, God keeps His word. What God has promised comes to pass. Words for us even today where He says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Where He says, I forgive you. Where are you in life where you're struggling with and you're like, you know what? Sometimes life stinks. Sometimes life is incredibly hard and I can't see past the fog in front of me. And you need right now in this moment to be reminded and encouraged with the words from the angel, just as He said. If Jesus can take upon the evil of the world upon His body and die a brutal death and then exhaust that power by rising from the dead, there is nothing else that He cannot do for you and for me, just as He said. Jesus' word is good. The second thing that jumped out at me that I want us to look at this morning is Jesus' response. So apparently, Matthew's retelling, the angel's word wasn't good enough. You know, Jesus Himself needed to show up and kind of repeat what the angel said. But I love what Jesus says as a greeting. Literally, He says, greetings. He also has to say, do not be afraid, because this probably was unexpected and terrifying. Oh, my word! Looking at the original language that the Bible was written, different translations. I handed out New King James and NIV, and you have different translations, you have different versions of the Bible. They all have different things that Jesus said by way of hello. NIV says greetings, and that's okay, that's fine. Other translations have Jesus say all hail. Another version says Jesus having said good morning. But literally, what the word that Jesus said was peace be to you. Shalom. Peace be unto you. Peace. My sisters, ladies, brothers and sisters here at Gilead Friends, peace be to you. And so then I kind of have to throw in the creative part of my brain, and I cannot, for the life of me, forgive me if your Jesus, the way you envision Him, is kind of like those old Christian videos of Jesus where He's very lethargic and He's kind of just always walking around like this. You know those videos where Jesus is just... And so maybe it's possible that Jesus kind of greeted the ladies, greetings. And maybe there was that little halo around His head, shalom, peace to you, because He had an English accent, clearly, and blue eyes. But when I enter into the creativity of, man, this really happened, what would the emotions be? Jesus just defeated death. The sins of humanity have been extinguished. Would He really just be kind of like, so greetings, that just happened? If I could insert reality of what it would be like, I wonder if Jesus was like, yo, greetings, it happened. You know those videos that you watch on YouTube, those trick shots when they're just trying to do those basketball things, and that one moment when the shot actually happens, what's the reaction of those people? They're like, it actually happened, I can't believe it, after 99 million tries, you did it. Could it be when Jesus met those ladies, He was like, ladies, it happened, greetings, we did it. Evil is defeated. How many of you this morning, you need Jesus to be that for you? Children, we did it! This morning, whatever has been weighing down on you, because of the resurrection of Jesus, it is defeated. And He greets you on that road. The last thing from this passage before we jump into the three places, the three applications to take with us from this Resurrection Sunday. Jesus and the angel, they talk about, hey, tell my disciples, those guys that are right now living in fear, right now they are afraid for their lives because they think the Romans, the authorities, they're coming for them. I want you to go to them and tell them, it happened, the resurrection, Jesus is alive, the tomb is empty. Now, he says to go ahead of you, go ahead into Galilee, and there they will see me. The angel says, hey, they're going to see Jesus. And Jesus says, tell my brothers, they will see me. Third point that I want us all to hear that just jumped out at me, and I've got to share it with you. Jesus wants to see you. It could have been, you know, Jesus could have said, hey, man, that was fantastic. It was a little hurtful. It was kind of, you know, just overwhelming, and I'm back. So good luck for your life. Jesus wants to see these guys. Jesus wants to show them. He wants to, man, you put your faith in me and it was not misplaced. These guys who fled, these guys, some of them literally denied him three times. People who are afraid, now it's over. Jesus says, yeah, I want to see them. And it wasn't a just wait till your dad gets home kind of see them. It wasn't that. It was, I want to see them. I want to embrace them. I want to love on them. I want to show them I am who they thought I was. Jesus wants to see you. Now, those are the three things that I take with me from that passage, and I encourage you to reflect on those things on your own. But this event, this resurrection of Jesus, brings three huge truths for us today. The first truth that we can take with us, because of what Jesus has done, because of his death, because of his resurrection, number one, the big, huge truth that we take with us today is forgiveness for the past. John, who had followed Jesus, who had written a gospel himself, later wrote a few letters to the churches, and he writes this in the very beginning of his letter, the blood of Jesus, God's Son, purifies us, people, from all sin. So for us here this morning, the event of Jesus dying, his blood shedding on the cross, coming back to life by the power of God, it means that there is forgiveness of our sins, of your sins and mine, because Jesus' blood purifies us from all sin. So you're sitting here this morning, whether this is your first time in a church in a long time, whether you're a member of Gilead Friends all your life, you were born into this church, I am telling you, because of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. And that is something that we call upon you to embrace, to receive, and believe. That the purity of Jesus' blood cleanses us from all of those things that we've said, all of those things that we've done that rebel against God, that says, it's my way, God, not yours. Even from the very beginning of creation when man was made, and we're like, you know what? I think I know better. God said this, but I don't believe it, and so I'm going my own way. That's rebellion. That's sin. It's been washed clean. All of those acts that we have said since then, all of those behaviors that we have done that demean humanity, they've been forgiven. Do you believe that? Do you embrace that, and do you receive that truth? Because that is a huge one. The second truth that we have for you today, not only is there forgiveness for the past, and I would also say forgiveness for the future, but also there is joy for the present. John, in his gospel, he writes that the disciples, once they saw Jesus, hey, go into the Galilee because they're going to see me, the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Huzzah! It would be this just mind-blowing experience. This guy that they had followed, this man who had done miraculous things, who had taught such wild, unearthly truths, he's alive again. The same word that John uses for overjoyed is the same exact word that Jesus says when he greeted those ladies. Peace, joy, Our hearts are just so filled with this event, with this reality. There's joy in the present because we believe Jesus is not dead. And third, the third truth for today, from this event of Jesus coming back, defeating death, taking upon the world's evil, and exhausting its powers, we have hope for the future. Luke, who wrote a gospel, he wrote that they, his followers, they worshiped Jesus and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. There's that word again. And they stayed continually at the temple praising God. In other words, they were gathering together and they said, okay, now what? Now what do we get to do? Now what's the next step? What's our action step? Now that we know this, we can't sit on it. The reality that the story of Jesus and his followers continue today is proof that it was not made up. Because you cannot maintain a lie this long. There's forgiveness for the past. There's joy for the present. And there's hope for the future. Now that we know, now that we've heard this, now that we have seen him, now that we have experienced the risen Jesus, now what? It's like a whole new path is now opened because you don't have to live this way anymore. That's been forgiven. That's been erased. That's no more. Now we can do and go anywhere. Now that we can say, now we can share. And we're free to do this. Dan and his team are going to come up and they're going to lead us as in a closing song. It's the one that we sang this morning. Just the final verse and the last couple choruses about the truth that Jesus, on that morning, defeated death. All of the power, all of the evil, all of the systems that took Jesus to the cross, the systems of empire, the systems of oppression, of violence, all of that he carried. All of the sins that humanity had wrought had been placed upon his body. And by dying, by breathing his last, he exhausted it forever. And now we respond. And one of the great ways to respond is through music and through rhythm. So will you stand with us as Dan and his team lead us finally in this song?
That sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me.
Then came the morning. Let's sing it again.
Then came the morning. That sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Jesus, yours is the victory. Its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Yes, I'm living hope. Hallelujah,
hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living.
extending you the invitation today, if this is your first time, to receive, to embrace the reality that Jesus has forgiven your sins. If you've made that decision today, yes, I believe it and I trust it, I would love to talk with you. I'll be right up here at the front as you leave just to talk with you and just hear your story. If you have decided again, Jesus, yes, I believe this. Forgive me for where I've stumbled. I'd love to talk with you. Now, here's the question. Now, what are you going to do for Easter? Now that you've taken the story and you're going to go and you're going to have ham and you're going to do Easter eggs, are you going to share the story? So, what does it mean to you that Jesus is alive? What if you have that conversation around the table? You go to a restaurant and you ask your waitress or your waiter, what does it mean to you that Jesus is alive? Heavenly Father, as we go from this place, we proclaim Jesus is alive, and we thank you for your power. We thank you for that miracle. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins. For some, it's a brand new day. It's a brand new step, and it's kind of new, and it's we're uncertain. What now? The disciples were ready. There was glorious joy in their step. What now? Now that Jesus is alive, what do we do? Father, lead us. Lead us this day in our week. We proclaim Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Be blessed as you go. Happy Easter. You're dismissed.